Thank you, Lord, for an awesome time tonight. We praise you, Lord, that all that's going to happen tonight will be guided by you. And we praise you and we glorify you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for placing love in our hearts for each other and everybody, Lord. Not just each other, but those that are hard to love. But, Lord, with your heart, we can love anybody. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord, for leading us tonight into the things you want us to do.
Stop feeding him so that he has a few
hours. In Jesus' name.
I can have food and have a chance to go to the bathroom. I'm going to give you a little sneak peek later on how we're going to make that happen.
You go, Vanita.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay. All right. We're going to do a little not praise and worship so much as celebration. How's that? I like this song that I'm fixing to play. Let's see here. How do I do this? Let's see. I got to get this down. Okay. Y'all ready?
Took back what he stole from me. I took back what he stole from me. Yes, I took back what he stole from me. Well, I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. He's under my feet.
The Lord has You're muted, Michael.
I know. He's got an ending to it that's real good, too. I just forgot to leave it on there. Thought he was through, but he's not. He has a little ending on it. Look what the Lord has done. One of them bluesy things. Yeah. Go for it, Joe. Amen. Okay. All right. I'm going to put it in the chat. That's a good one. That's the guy that wrote the song. Actually. There it is. Woohoo! All right. Everybody ready to go now? Glory to God. I'm telling you. That'll fire you up, man. We actually, it goes on and on and on when we do it at the fellowship, as you probably already know. We do it. Sometimes we'll stay for, you know, gosh, it'll be 10 minutes doing that same song. The kids, well, kids and grown-ups too, get dancing around in a circle. Oh, man, it's a lot of fun. Okay, has anybody got any prayer requests? Yeah, Lana.
Michael, I should have turned on the camera, but I've got Abigail and Adeline over here. And so we have the five of them dancing around the living room just now.
Yeah, that's awesome. You go, girls.
It was meeting night all over again.
That's awesome. Adeline and Abigail. That's awesome. Glory to God. Probably showing off too. Okay. Yeah, Vanita.
Yeah, hi. I just have a praise report. We got this little guy today. I don't know if you can see him or not.
What is it?
He's a little puppy. He's a German short hair.
Oh, really?
Not doing a good job with the camera.
Yeah. Let me get you.
Oh, yeah, that'll praise the Lord. Frank got his dog.
All right, do it again. Put him on. I got you spotlighted now.
I can't get him right. Where is he?
Just, that's a German short hair.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
He's sleeping right now. Fast
yeah.
Asleep.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. A good bird dog.
Amen. Yeah.
All right, let's see if I can get on. Yeah. All right, anyone else? Lord, thank you for blessing him with that German short hair puppy dog. And Lord, let it be a blessing to all of them and a blessing for him, too. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. And let that be a smart dog. Yeah, Missy.
And we just pray that he gets housebroken very quickly with the least amount possible accidents in Jesus' name.
Amen. No accidents.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yeah. Go ahead, Andrew or Benjamin or both.
Well, there's this little movie on.
that's called I Believe. It's a little boy in it with some, he looks like he's a really tiny guy with big glasses and stuff, and it's a pretty cool movie, actually. Cristiano does it, and it's kind of like a real tearjerker, but it's a really nice movie. I was amazed that they actually did it that way, because they show some miracles in it and stuff. And it's just a really nice, sweet movie with a little boy and trying to find Christ and stuff. So I just wanted to, we were just watching some scenes of it before we came on. And then there was the song with What the Lord Has Done, you know,
with little kids.
Yeah. And the kids were excited about that. Yeah.
Amen.
I got a testimony as well.
All right, let's hear it.
I'm moving this weekend out of my parents' place into my own apartment.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
So everyone can just give me a prayer of just a good move and just some peace in mind. And I think my mom needs a bit of prayer because I think she's a little sad that her little kid is finally moving out.
Yeah. Lord, we thank you for
it. I'm not a little kid anymore, but I think she's still
a little. Pretty obvious.
Yeah. You call me fat?
No, I'm not calling you fat, are you?
Yeah.
Well, Lord, we just lift up Ben's mom to you. We thank you, Father, for putting peace in her heart. Let her come to you, Lord. Let her come closer to you, in Jesus' name. We praise you for it, Father, because we know it's going to happen in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for opening up her eyes to see the spiritual aspects of this salvation that you've given us. And we praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
I also have another request. I doubt anyone noticed, but on Tuesday I had to turn off my screen. Karen called me because she has been having like a stalker. Someone's been stalking her, another guy. And he was just messaging her on Facebook and Instagram and stuff. But then somehow he got her phone number and he texted her. And she's all scared now because it's like, if he has my phone number, like, what else can he get to? And then I had to call her and I had to pray and all that. And I was just trying to like talk to her and calm her down. And so I've prayed and I'm wondering if we could all pray that this man would stay away from her and lose her contact at all, and to give her some comfort and some bravery, because she's very scared because she doesn't want him showing up at her house or anything. I don't even want to think of that.
Does she know who this person is?
She has no idea who he is.
Okay. Well, let's send the angels over there. Father, we just thank you for your protection upon Karen. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we ask, we send the angels to camp out around about her, Lord, that they would be a wall of protection around her that nothing or no one could penetrate, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to take it out of this man's mind to quit stalking her, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. And Lord, if he's done this before to somebody else, Lord, I ask that you expose him and get him off the street in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Lord, put him somewhere where he has to read the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Everybody believe that? Karen's safe. She is so safe. Thank you, Father. Because she is in your arms, Lord. Psalms 91. Thank you, Father. And many others. Yeah, Judy.
Lady Shamanda. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that you would give Karen great peace and comfort her heart. We command the spirits of fear, paranoia, doubt, unbelief, worry, dread of evil, and everything that the enemy is trying to throw at her. We cast it down. We break your power off of her in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that You'll give Karen wisdom about blocking this person's information from her, any social media, phone number, whatever she needs to do, Lord. You'll give her wisdom about that. If she needs to contact the authorities, Lord, if that's something you put in her heart to do, let her do so. We just thank you, Lord, for the peace that passes understanding and your holy angels guarding her and everything Michael prayed and whatever Ben talked to her and prayed with her about, Lord, that she will seek your peace and your protection, Lord, and believe it.
Amen.
And we thank you, Lord, for doing that for her. And I do pray, Lord, that you bring a conviction to this man's heart. We pray blessings on this man and that he would be convicted of his actions, Lord, that he'd have a supernatural encounter with Jesus. Lord, we thank you for doing that, Abraham, Lord, in Jesus' name. Brandon, repentance. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anything else? Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Megan.
Yes, yeah, got a praise report and a prayer request. I did ask a prayer request for passing my driver's license. I passed the test 2 weeks ago.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And my prayer request is my sight. I couldn't see at night last night. My dad wanted me to practice driving at night so I won't be hurt myself or anybody else. And I want to pray for my sight to be clear.
Okay. All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Megan is not under the curse. She doesn't have to put up with this. We don't put up with it either. In the name of Jesus, I command Megan's sight to be whole in Jesus' name. Everybody points a finger down at Megan. Because that's the power of God's going to go down there and heal her eyes right now in the name of Jesus. We command everything that has hindered her eyes from seeing at night, daytime, or whatever, be healed in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Father, that it is done. And we thank you, Lord, that she can see perfectly, daytime, nighttime, or whenever it is. It makes no difference. She can see perfectly in Jesus' name. Everybody believe that? Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. That's a good testimony there because I believe it's done, Megan. Your eyes are healed. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Woohoo. Yeah, Marilyn.
I just want to tack on something here. Father, we just thank you for Megan. She is such a blessing. And we love her. She's our sister in Christ, and it's a blessing to stand in faith with her. Father, I thank you for not only healing her eyes in the natural, but, Lord, that you are giving her supernatural vision in the spirit. And, Father, I'm bold to ask that, Lord, you're even going to allow her to see visions. And, Lord, I just thank you and praise you for doing that for her, and she's going to come back with a great testimony about that. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I believe it too. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Megan. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I believe it. Woo. My, 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 my. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Lana.
Hey, everybody. I just wanted to share a quick praise report. Had to plug my computer in before it died on me right now. We all prayed for the boys on Tuesday, and I wanted to share a wonderful report that the Lord was true. And the enemy tried to attack little Gabe with some crying on Tuesday night after we prayed for them. And I cast it down and I ignored it. And I said, no, Gabe's going to sleep. And I think the boys were passed out before the meeting ended. And Gabe fell asleep shortly after that. And after many days, that night, we had a full night of sleep and have had a full night of sleep every night since. And little Gabe has no memory of a bottle anymore. He wakes up a starving Marvin every morning. I mean, 7 o'clock, I'm eating a oatmeal for the kid because he will not let me go to bed until I feed him. So praise the Lord. He is so good.
Thank you, Lord. That Gabe, I tell you what, he's going to be as big as his daddy, if not bigger. Amen. He's a chow.
Amen. I'll forgive him, Michael.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's see. I'll ask Geneva. Go ahead, Geneva.
Hey, everybody. Hey. I know it's been a little bit since I've been on here. It's been busy past few weeks for us. I went back to Kentucky. Well, Morgan's family was down here for a week. And then I went back with them to Kentucky kind of randomly, but just to hang out, with family and whatnot. But anyways, so when I was down there, I feel like I was kind of, tried and persecuted. I'm trying to think how to say this without saying. So, I just want to pray, I guess, for my brother-in-law and his wife, which I've actually been very close to, I would say, ever since Mike has been born. She's, you know, the Lord's really blessed her to help me a lot, just with questions and things. She's got 5 kiddos. So, and one of them's like the same age as Micah. So I, you know, I ask her a lot of stuff when it comes to baby things, just cause she's got, you know, a baby same age. So anyways, but I guess, I don't know, when I was down there, they kind of said some disheartening stuff, and I could just feel that there's a spirit of, just like self-righteousness kind of, and just really just a bunch of condemnation coming out on things they were saying. And, you know, something was said to me that kind of broke my heart, and, I took it. And I just turned the other cheek. I didn't defend myself. I didn't say anything. You know, and I went to bed early that night, and, it, you know, I just kind of felt hurt, and I prayed that the Lord show me. And I feel like what the Lord showed me was that was just a spirit of condemnation trying to come on me and trying to tell me like I wasn't a good mom, or that I'm not doing as good, you know, as other moms, or just something of that sort. And, you know, what was said was a lie, and I had to cast that down and, you know, bind up word curses and things of that sort, because Satan was really trying to get in my head. And so anyways, I praise the Lord for showing me that, because I was really kind of starting to fall into that trap. And then the Lord opened my eyes real quick. And, anyways, so since then, you know, it's been hard for me not to be kind of mad at them, and, just from being hurt. And, you know, I know that's where bitterness can start to build up. And so I've been casting that down a lot and just, rebuking that. And Morgan wasn't with me. Morgan was, he was at work here. So he gave me his blessing, you know, for me to go back and be with the family for a little bit, just me and the baby. But I guess now I'm like, well, I'm not going to go without him anymore. But, anyways, but you know, we talked about it, and Morgan feels like, you know, that this was the Lord's will for me to go and learn, just kind of, well, so we've been thinking, you know, about maybe moving back to Kentucky sometime in the future. And, you know, if we weren't to find a place like immediately, we could live with family. And I feel like this was a good trial experience to know that maybe that's not what we want to do, you know? I feel like the Lord, you know, showed me some things that's in that household, you know, that, you know, we don't need to be around. We don't want our child around, as far as, like I said, the pride and the self-righteousness and things of that sort. But anyways, I want to thank the Lord though, that I was able to go through this with love. And I've been praying and just asking the Lord to really give me love toward them and to not harbor up bitterness. And, anyways, I just want to, you know, if you all pray and just agree with me, because, you know, I keep getting attacked because, like, we have this family group message thing, and they'll send, I feel like they're sending scriptures right now. They're kind of condemning, but I don't know. Part of me feels like maybe a few of them were pointed at me, but then again, I'm like, you know, Lord, it doesn't matter either way. I'm not going to get inside of my head, because it doesn't matter. Like, I know what you've already told me, and I know that I'm yours and I'm your child, and I'm persecuted because you love me. And, you know, I got to bear fruit. I got to, you know, I got to be pruned. And, this is just, showing me that me as a mama, and especially as a new mama, it's not anything, nothing that I've done that has made me, you know, this or that or better than anybody else or excel, or, you know, it's only Christ in me. And I don't know what I'm doing, but I know the Lord knows what he's doing. And I just trust that. And I thank God that, he's blessed me with such a perfect little baby. And, anyways, so I'm just going to pray. Lord, thank you, Father, that, thank you, Jesus, that you've given me complete forgiveness toward just the situation that has come. And God, it's just for me to bear fruit. And Lord, family, I mean, what better way to be persecuted than through family, God? And, cause they're always going to be around, and we got to continue to love them. And, Jesus, help me, God, to be a light, Lord. And Jesus, help me to take this in stride, and, let this not even come to my remembrance anymore, Father, because Lord, I forgive them. So let me just forget. And Jesus, I thank you, God, that, whatever spirit this is that continually tries to come against me, I cast it down in the name of Jesus. And you do not have place over my mind. I have the mind of Christ, nor over Micah, in the name of Jesus. And I rebuke it trying to cause division between me and my daughter and the bond that we have, because it is handcrafted by the Lord and protected by his blood. And I just cast down any condemnation or any word curses or thoughts that had tried to come my way, or anything or any spirit that tried to get off on us while we were there, in the name of Jesus. I command you to be gone. It is null and void. I just thank you, Father, that you have protected me with your love. And just thank you, God, that I'm going to continue to love them, and I'm going to continue to turn the other cheek. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you for erasing all of it from her. We praise you, Father, that this is a lesson for her to just love in spite of all of that, just like you did. And Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, Dean.
Father, we also just pray blessings on Geneva's and Morgan's family there, Lord, and that you draw them closer to the real Jesus of the Bible. And we bind up these spirits of religion and witchcraft and faction and jealousies and competitions and anything that has been condemning our sister, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that it's bound and removed in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for giving her the armor of God and the love of Christ, and that she will do warfare on their behalf as well, and fight for them in the spirit, because, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're saying or what they're doing. And we just thank you, Lord, for the discernment and the knowledge you give in Geneva. And we bless her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It is done. Thank you, Lord, for growing up. Excuse me, Geneva. And this is a great lesson for her. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that she is an overcomer. That condemnation has no place in her. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, Lana.
Hey again. I actually have a short praise report and a couple of prayer requests that go along with it. I had purchased something online and addressed it to be delivered to our home. And I did not check the address. And it turns out instead of being delivered or shipped to Tennessee, it was being shipped back to my old home in Missouri. So I called the new tenant who lives there. I advised her that the package was coming. And we kind of went back and forth on how to figure out what to do with the package once it arrives, because she has to reject it in order for them to pick it up and send it back, which I figured it would go back to the retailer and whatnot. And so when the phone call ended, the first words that were out of my mouth is, "Lord, thank you that they are going to send the package to my house." And then instantly my brain kicked in and said, "My house? They don't have my new address. How are they going to send it to my house?" Well, I thought to myself, well, anyways, Lord, however it's going to happen, just as long as it's not a big fat headache, just simply take care of it, Lord, okay? And so I went online to check on the status of the package and noticed that it was supposed to be delivered on Tuesday. And on Tuesday, it said that the delivery attempt had failed and they will try again tomorrow, Tuesday. And I'm like, weird. It is Tuesday. And the next day I went to check on it again and the status said forwarded because the United States Postal Service has my new address on file. And when the carrier dropped it off at their office, they got flagged and never even made the attempt to delivery. They instantly turned around and are forwarding it to me. And I thought, Lord, you are so good. I have prayed the perfect prayer. And my brain tried to interfere and make sense of it. So praise the Lord. The package is on its way. And the Lord knows exactly what he's doing. So just a little testimony of how our brains and our logic can interfere with these things. But so I don't remember how much I've shared. But the new tenant that lives in our home, the one we used to live in Sedalia, Larissa, I've kept in touch with her on and off since we've moved. The Lord blessed us to help her out. She's a refugee from Ukraine, a widowed mother of five children. And it was a great phone call. I was so glad I called her, even though it started out with that package. And so there's two prayer requests. First off, she is trying to get her driver's license and she's been unable to pass the written test. And she's going to go try next week again. Part of the problem has been that Missouri does not offer a Russian version of the driver's manual. And so she hasn't been able to get a thorough chance to study in order to pass the test. And I told her, forget it, because you're not going to remember half the stuff anyways. So I'm just going to believe for you that the next time you go, the next time you go, take your driver's test, you're passing. And that'll be sometime next week. So I'm just asking y'all just agree with me. She's passing. Done deal. And the next prayer request is she's a widowed mother. She has five little children, three in school, two of them at home with her. I think her youngest just turned 1 year old. And the good folks in Sedalia and the church where she goes to have been telling her that, hey, welfare doesn't last forever. They're going to kick you off. You need to go get a job and put your children into daycare. And I was no. Because the gentleman who sponsored her, she is friends with him. He's a Christian man. People thought that they were going to get married, but obviously that's between the two of them. And she shared with me that they're still friends. You know, they haven't really spoken of marriage. It's not off the table, but it's not on the table. So I'm just believing the Lord has something in store. If it's not this nice guy who sponsored her to come to America, then he must be holding her for somebody else. Cause I truly believe he's going to have somebody else for her. She's about my age. She's a young mom. And I told her, I just encouraged her not to receive this bad report. That's not what's going to happen, that I truly believe that her place is at home taking care of her precious children and that he will provide for her, whether it means, you know, that the government's going to come through and extend something or whether he'll send her a spouse because that's what she truly needs and she's open to it. So, Father God, I lift up Larissa to your throne of grace and I thank you so much that driver's license is done. That test is passed with flying colors and she's going to call me and tell me all about it. and that she's going to be so encouraged, Father God, that that we can stand on your promises and faith, and the faith that you give us to stand for one another and intercede, Father God. And I also lift her up. I thank you for giving her peace in her heart, and that you're going to provide for her, Father God. I believe that you have a husband in store for her, somebody who's going to love her children dearly and provide for her financially, and just give her a wonderful new marriage, Father God, from your hand, Father God. And that welfare is not in question here. Finances are not in question here. And none of that, Father God. And I bind up these bad reports and people who like to gossip and slander and say yep. things that are of none of their business, Father God. We come against this. We bind up this talk in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father God, for doing miracles in her life, Father God, because she confesses, she testifies to the mighty work you did for her in bringing her and her five children across from Ukraine, and the way you have miraculously provided through many for her and her children to live where she is now. She's comfortable, she's warm, she's safe, and they are very happy. And it's all by your mighty grace, Father God. I'll leave it at that, and we thank you that it is done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for providing for, did you say her name was Clarissa?
Her name is Larissa.
Larissa, okay. Providing for, and Lord, we thank you that you have a man out there waiting for her. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for shutting the mouths of these gossipers in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Does she speak English?
No, she doesn't speak any English.
Okay. All right, anybody else? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Well, we can get back on the book. Pat's not going to make it tonight. He worked late. Everybody enjoying this book? Okay. Shake your head, yeah, Missy. Okay. Praise God. We're on page 143, I believe. Yeah. Did we go to chapter 6? Okay.
We just finished chapter 5. Yep. So we're on chapter 6. I have 144 on that page.
Okay. And I have 144. You're right. Chapter 6. Jezebel is a destroyer. The lies of Jezebel. I know that many of you brethren have a hope of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and that you want to, in Philippians 3:14, press on toward the goal unto the high prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You want to come into submission and right relationship to the Word of God so that you can be in the bride of Christ. We've seen from the scriptures the great promises for that, the guidance, the provision, the protection. And I pray you all make it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord has given me understanding that a Jezebel spirit is covertly putting to death the brethren. Now, I know that's not just happening in UBM. It's happening around the world because too many people don't know the real danger in a Jezebel spirit and what its tactics are. So I'd like to share just a few things with you about that. First of all, we need to understand that mixture is from the pit. If you put even a speck of black paint into white paint, that paint is gray. It may be imperceptible to the eye, but it's still gray. And that's what Satan does. Satan uses mixture. He will surround a lie with enough truth to hide it and make it seem reasonable. We need to put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6 and 11, so that no advantage may be gained over us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Amen to that. The Jezebel spirit wants to rule. It wants to control. So it feeds the ego in a person. They think, of course, I should be in charge because I'm smart, or because I know what's best, or because you're a lazy good-for-nothing, or whatever. It tells you what you want to hear, and then you're ready to receive the lie. Jezebel hates God's line of authority and has been attacking it at every turn. Why is there a plague of homosexuality and lesbianism and every other kind of perversion? It's because of Jezebel's lies to those who will listen to her. For example, where the word says that as the corporate body of the bride, we are to receive the spiritual seed of our husband Christ, Jezebel takes that spiritual revelation and twists it. Jezebel turns that revelation into a fleshly parable about man receiving the physical seed of man. That destroys a link in God's ordained line of authority. It's the same thing Jezebel does to the woman. When that line of authority is destroyed, when the man is no longer the head of the woman, it creates lesbianism, excuse me, and feminism, and all these perversions and so forth. These perversions bring nothing but spiritual death when people let themselves be deceived by giving place to Jezebel. You know, folks, we have to first be in right relationship with one another in order to be in right relationship with the Lord. The Lord gives us commands. He doesn't give us suggestions. We don't have a choice in what we are to do. There is a numeric pattern going through the scriptures as a proof to us that this is God speaking, Revelation 22 and 18. I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city which are written in this book. When men depart from the word by adding to or taking away from it, they fall under the curse. Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 68. It's for their own good that they let the word of God put to death the old man. Ephesians 4 and 22. That you put away as concerning your former manner of life, the old man that waxes corrupt after the lust of deceit. James 1:22, wherefore putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. The word of God is the washing of the water with word. Ephesians 5:25, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of water with the word. It's the real fulfillment of our baptism that puts to death the life of the old man, Colossians 3 and 9. It brings us all into complete unity with the Lord. The Bible says in Romans 8 and 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Now the Spirit of God wrote this word. Therefore, we have to come into submission to this word in order to be in right relationship with the Lord and to be sons of God. If you don't want to obey this word, you can't be a son of God. You can be a servant, but you can't manifest sonship. So remember that when we read these words, because this is God speaking, it's not me. I'm just a messenger boy. I'll tell you what, I've been associated with some mean Jezebels before. You can quote scriptures all day long. Doesn't mean a thing to them. Best thing to do is just tell them, I said, well, just, here's what I told them. I said, well, just go check the word of God. Don't listen to me. That's what the word of God says. Which part of that word of God don't you understand about women should not teach, about women ought to submit to their husbands? Well, that's just your interpretation. No, I'm just reading the word of God to y'all. Anyway. Okay, who else wants to read? Well, thank you, Benjamin.
Can you hear me?
No.
Yes, sir.
Mom, they can hear me.
They can hear you. Yeah. Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you that ye remember me in all things and hold fast the tradition, even as I delivered them unto you. Notice he was just a delivery boy like me. It was God who wrote these things to us. If you want to know why you're going through the troubles you have, I can guarantee it's because of the wrong relationship to the scriptures. But God loves us, so he's going to fix that. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I would have you know, this is important, obviously, that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, give some thought to this, because the Lord is not going to change his mind. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, and yea, and ever, and forever. Some people say, oh, the more modern Christ is the one I believe in, and not that guy Paul. Well, that's the spirit of Jezebel talking, and the spirit of Jezebel hates Paul, but that doesn't let Jezebel off the hook, since Peter said the same thing, John said the same thing, Elijah said the same thing, Isaiah said the same thing, Samuel said the same thing, Malachi said the same thing, and on and on. So if you get rid of Paul, then you have to get rid of the rest of the Bible too.
And all of us.
Jezebel is the one that is not in a right relationship with God, because Jezebel is not under God. Jezebel is under the devil. I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Yes. No one should come between the headship of Christ over the man. Christ is the head of the man, because man is part of the body of Christ. Christ is the male figure, and we should be the bride of Christ, that we are those who receive his seed. His life, he is the head. If that relationship is reversed, as, for instance, when a man usurps authority over Christ or over the body of Christ, that is a Jezebel spirit in the man. He has spiritually joined himself to a harlot. 1 Corinthians 6:15. Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. When someone takes authority that's not given to them by the Lord, then they didn't come through the door. Jesus said they came up some other way, John 10:1. Everyone who actually is in the body of Christ is subject to Christ. Christ is the head, and the head of the woman is the man. This is just as true. The head of the woman is the man, and God's not going to change his mind about that either, because he created it this way. He tells you in the book why he created it this way. Genesis 2:18, not our choice, it's not competition, which some people make it out to be. When a woman doesn't want to be submitted to the man, there's self-will there, there's rebellion there, and there's quite often Jezebel there. The woman has cast off all restraint. She has shaved off her hair, 1 Corinthians 11:5. Every woman praying or prophesying with her head unveiled dishonoreth her head, for it is one in the same thing as if she were shaven. For if a woman is not veiled, this is speaking of a sign of her submission to her husband, let her also be shorn, But if it is a shame to a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be veiled. This spirit is a destroyer of families and men. If you step out of the submission that you have to Christ outside from being the body of Christ, just as the woman is the body of man, you're following a Jezebel spirit, which will give you an Ahab spirit. You're not following the spirit of God, and you'll never be a son of God if you follow a Jezebel spirit. Jezebel spirits want to bring confusion into the family. It can be a spiritual family of the people of God, which is the church, and also the physical family. Jezebel spirits do that in order to destroy the family and to bring people out from under this injection to the head, who is Christ. It's confusion when God's ordained chain of authority becomes broken in a way, and we're seeing a lot of confusion these days. For instance, wife, if you're not submitted to your husband, then you're not submitted to Christ. Christ does not accept you taking authority over your husband. If you seek to take authority, you are not following him, and you will not manifest your sonship. That's witchcraft, as the Bible says, 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as adultery, and teraphim are small idols usually set up in the household shrines. They were gods that people made for themselves. That's what an idol is. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. If the Lord would reject King Saul for rebelling against his word, don't you think he would be rejected for doing the same thing? If you want to submit to Christ, then you'll grow into his image more and more, and he will bless you. But if you don't want to submit, you need to get out of the church for your own good, because you're going to be destroyed. The Lord is coming to destroy the Jezebel spirit, and anybody who lets the Jezebel spirit into their house, man or woman, is inviting destruction to their family. And many families are destroyed. Children who are raised up under the spirit go on destroying their families. Know also that a husband who is willingly taking part in a woman that is taking headship is an Ahab. He's going to meet with the same end that Ahab met, 1 Kings 22:37-38. I know from experience that when a person cannot give up this dominion that they're not supposed to have, be it a man or a woman, it's a demon spirit that they love more than they love being a disciple of Christ. They're in adultery. Now, it's not your job, wife, to make sure the husband obeys Christ. It's your job to back away and pray for him and believe for him, not distract him from having all of his attention on Christ Jesus. He doesn't have to be perfect. This relationship is still true. You can't overthrow him, wife, because he isn't doing what you want him to do. Instead, you're to go to the Lord for him.
Amen. What? Let's stop for just a minute and see if there's any questions. Anybody got any questions about what we just read? What Benjamin just read? God's serious about this Jezebel and Ahab spirit. Very serious. Okay. All right, go on. If you want to start, or Andrew can, one of y'all, tell you, whatever.
Okay, I'll see if I can still read.
I bet you can.
Ephesians 5:22. Wives, be in subjection to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Notice the relationship there. It's as unto the Lord. If a wife doesn't want to obey the Lord, then she is not going to obey her husband. If she obeys her husband, that's the best way for her to obey the Lord. I did a survey of the commands given to women in the New Testament. Overwhelmingly, these commands have to do with her obeying her husband. I found that for the husband, this most important responsibility is to lead his family. Of course, he is to do that in submission to the Lord. And the scriptures are a guide, are to guide us in this. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is head of the church, of the wife, as Christ also is head of the church. You would say that Christ is not head of the church. You wouldn't say that Christ is not head of the church, but if a wife rebels against her husband, that's what she's saying in the spirit. The husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church. It's the same parallel, being himself the savior of the body. A husband who is following the Lord is the savior of his body, which is his wife, just as Christ, who is head of, whose head is God, is obeying in order to save his body, which is the church. Matthew 16:25. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. We're sanctified through our obedience, agape style, to the word of God. If you truly want to gain your life, you have to lose whatever is contrary to this word. If you don't want to be sanctified, and you don't want to grow in God, and you don't want to manifest your sonship, just disobey this. Just don't submit to the word and let your self-will destroy your family. A lot of people may read what the word says, but these are not people that may. They're people that think that they can be in rebellion to the word and still call themselves Christians. The Jezebel spirit has taken over the church in America because it's so worldly, so corrupt. There are lots of churches being ruled over by women, and they give you the dumbest excuses for why they're doing it. But it's witchcraft, because it's rebellion. And it's idolatry. 1 Samuel 15:23.
Amen. Let's talk about that a little bit. Anybody want to comment on this? How many churches are run by the women? Bunch of them. Bunch of them. They're on the head. Some of them are even pastors of them, you know. And God's expressly forced it out that that's not allowed.
You know, I think sometimes just the old-fashioned way of the way it used to be, you know, the way we knew it, well, the way I can't even say it as children, because even when I was Ben's age, some of this was going on. So you have to go back a couple of generations for this to really understand that this is something new. And this is something that one of the churches that I attended would always say, well, God's doing something new now. Well, you got something new that's not so right with God, you know, like there are no women apostles. And there are no women in the authoritative areas that were ordained there. And, that's what I have to say. And I know there's going to be a person that says, well, what about these prophetesses here? But you have to read very carefully there, even when these prophetesses spoke. They did not usurp a man's authority. And what they did was prophesying. And it's a different order of events there, I think. Anyway.
Well, the Lord can give a woman a word of knowledge or a word for the group, but they can't take over the office of prophet. That's not allowed.
Would she kill her husband for that first if she wanted to share that with anyone?
Yeah.
And then the husband would teach it?
Well, anytime that a woman gets a word from God, she can share it from God. I mean, you can't disallow that because she's a woman, but God chose her to give it. She can give it. But as far as lording it over men, they can give the prophetic word. That doesn't mean they're a prophet. David explains that quite well, and we'll probably run across it. Okay, Missy, you want to try some? No, don't get the big head because we allowed you to read now. Let's see.
Don't worry about that.
Okay.
Self-will hates the word. What is the idol of Jezebel? It's self-will. Some people inherit that self-will through a parent, but some people are just plain self-willed. And you know, folks, a spirit can take you over. Jezebel is one right there, and it can take you to hell. If you're obeying Jezebel, you are not obeying the Lord. You are not under the Lord. Don't call yourself a Christian until you repent. Ask the Lord to grant you repentance. Remember that Jezebel in the Old Testament cut off all the prophets of the Lord that she could find, 1 Kings 18:13, 19-10. Jezebel spirits hate the word of God. They'll do their best to weasel their way out of it by twisting it, perverting it any way they can so they can rule. But this is a destroyer of family bodies and the corporate body church. You must get rid of it. You must repent and cast it out. Don't let the devil rule your house. If Christ is not ruling your house, then the devil is ruling your house. Jezebel is from the devil. She has brought great corruption to the church, great rebellion against the word of God, great destruction of the doctrines of the church. Husbands, don't submit to that thing for a minute. But Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it. So love your wives, just as Ephesians tells you right here. But don't love them more than you love the Lord, because that's a perversion. Don't give in to that. 1 Peter 3:1, in like manner, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that even if any obey not the word. And of course, some wives use the excuse, well, my husband doesn't obey this or he doesn't obey that. But you see right here in black and white, that's not an excuse. They need to obey their husband. 1 Peter 3:1, in like manner, you wives be in subjection to your own husbands, that even if any obey not the word, they may be without the word, be gained by the behavior of their wives. Now, even though we're just reading it here, right out of the word, some of you still might have some arguments, some what ifs. Don't worry about them. Just do what the word says. Obey to the best of your ability, and one day you'll figure all those what ifs out. Please repeat in 1 Peter 3:1 a lot. This is the third time. Anyway. 1 Peter 3:1, in like manner, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that even if any obey not the word, they may without the word be gained by the behavior of their wives. Beholding your chaste behavior coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of braiding the hair and of wearing jewels of gold or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in the incorruptible apparel of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now, this is what God says that wives, Christian wives, should put on: the incorruptible apparel of a meek and quiet spirit. It is so beautiful in a woman, especially here in America, for goodness sake. What a sick country and a bunch of sick Christians here too. They don't believe the word of God, and they have allowed their foolish leadership, who have a Jezebel spirit, to take positions over Christ and over the body. So a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price, is what God calls beautiful. That is what his bride is going to look like. I believe I've probably pointed this out before, but I'm going to say it again. You know, there's Jezebel men taking authority and taking leadership that they have no business, that the Lord hasn't given to them either. Just saying. I know some. Oh, Lord, save them. Grant them repentance, because it just makes me think of let not many of you be teachers, because you're held more accountable. So anyway, somebody else can read now if they want.
Okay. All right. Who wants to read next, Gina?
Okay, I can do that. In 1 Peter 3:5, did somebody just have their hand up and put it down?
No. Okay. Julie.
Yeah.
My hand was up for reading, but it's okay. You can finish. Don't worry.
Okay.
My hand. Okay.
Did you want to say something, or do you want to read, Joe? I'm sorry.
No. Michael was asking when I read, so I can't show it on my screen, so I just put my hand up, so it's okay.
Okay. You can read after me.
All right.
Okay. Okay. 1 Peter 3:5, for after this manner aforetime, the holy women also, who hoped in God, adorned themselves. Notice, they adorned themselves with subjection to their own husbands. This made them beautiful. Being in subjection to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose children ye now are, if you do well, and are not put in fear by any terror. Abraham and Sarah are good example. She honored his headship. She called him Lord. And a lot of people called Jesus Lord, but he said in Luke 6:46, and why ye call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? That's very clear. In 1 Peter 3:7, ye husbands, in like manner, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the women, to the woman, as unto the weaker vessel. So it's not that the husband is ruling obnoxiously and demanding his authority. It's through love and peace. As being also joint heirs of the grace of life, to the end that your prayers be not hindered. In 1 Timothy 2:10. But which becometh women professing godliness. I'm sorry, let me read that again. But which becometh women professing godliness through good works. So if you're a woman professing godliness, then you'll do good works and you'll obey these next verses. Verse 11. Letting women learn in quietness and with all subjection, but I permit not a woman to teach, nor to have dominion over a man, but be in quietness. You ask, David, then what can a woman do in church that's legal? The Bible says she can pray and she can prophesy, because these are things that you do in the Lord and not your flesh. He's restraining the flesh here, you see. The Lord wants to hear more from the men, from the husbands, from the leaders in the assembly. Not a lot of husbands are very quiet, you know. A lot of husbands are very quiet, you know. But they let their wives get up and make a lot of pronunciations and so forth, and they aren't necessarily
so forth, that aren't necessary. But I permit not a woman to teach, nor to have dominion over the man, but to be in quietness. Who said, I permit not? The Lord God spoke this through his apostle Paul, and we have proof of that because there is a numeric pattern in the scriptures that no man could have put in there. And here's a reason that's still the reason for today for why women shouldn't teach or have dominion over a man. Some people proclaim, oh, it's different today. No, it's not. If this next verse is wrong today, then I'm wrong, but it's still true today. In 1 Timothy 2:13, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. Is that still true? Yes. And Adam was not beguiled, but the woman being beguiled hath fallen into transgression. Is that still true? Yes. And what the Lord is saying is that this could happen again. But she shall be saved through her childbearing if they continue in faith and love and sanctification with sobriety. Oh, praise the Lord. Joe, did you want to read, or does anyone have any questions? Is this a good place to stop?
I can read.
Okay.
1 Corinthians 14:32, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not a God of confusion. It's Jezebel that brings confusion to God's ordained line of authority, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints, notice, Apostle Paul is not departing from the word, as some women say about him. It was a custom of all the churches of the saints, and it was a custom in the Old Testament too. Today, we're in the New Testament. So we now have to obey it, 1 Corinthians 14:33. As in all the churches of the saints, let the women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted on them to speak. I believe that the woman can share a testimony if she is invited to do it by her leadership or by her husband, but she can't speak outside the bounds of leadership. But let them be in subjection, as also saith the Lord. I heard people say, oh, Paul, that's just trying to drag him back under the law. No, this is true in both the Old and New Testament. Who could argue with us? A woman with that spirit of Jezebel, who has such a lust to rule and to take position of authority in the church, they will argue. They will twist and pervert God's word. Don't you sit under them for a minute when they do such things. 1 Corinthians 14:35. And if they would learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home. For it is shameful for a woman to speak in a church. So we see God is protecting his ordained line of authority in the family. If a wife has a question, she should ask her husband. Make him dig a little deeper because it's good for him to search it out. This is what the Lord's command is, and that's a very good command. He's not letting the church rule over the headship in the family. He's got the husband for that. 1 Corinthians 14:36. What was it from you that the word of God went forth, or come it out unto you alone? Here Paul is obviously talking with somebody wanting to argue with us, but he has a good answer. Are you the one that the word of God came to, or are you the only one? 1 Corinthians 14:37. If any man think of himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him take knowledge of the things which I have write unto you. That they are the commandments of the Lord. Paul is saying these are not just his traditions, but they are the commandments of the Lord. If you rebel against what Paul is saying here, you're rebelling against the Lord. But any man, if he's not ignorant, let him be ignorant. In other words, he's going to bear his own curse. Folks need to humbly submit to the word of God and not rebel against the Lord. Sorry. Whenever the Lord people rebelled in the Old Testament, the Lord rebuked him for it. A good example of that is here in Isaiah 3:11. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for what his hands were done shall be done unto him. As for my people, children are the oppressors. In other words, people that are immature are ruling over the church. That's crazy. That's what we have to do today. Whenever denominations can turn out preachers by sending them to school for a couple of years and then give them authority over the church, that's really ridiculous. The Bible says in Revelation 2, verse 26, and he that overcometh, he that keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give authority over the nations. That means a person needs to overcome sin first. There are pastors out there counseling others, but they haven't overcome their own sin. Don't sit under somebody who is in immorality. Don't let them counsel you because their spirits are going into it. Their rebellion is going into you, and don't sit under them. Isaiah 3:12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. He's rebuking them for this. Oh, my people, they that lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of my paths. Well, I would say that a church ignores a lot of the word of God in the New Testament because the world preachers have totally perverted a rule of authority in the church. Jesus didn't raise up women as teachers and preachers. He raised up only men, and he wanted to be that way because a man is ahead of a woman. He doesn't depart from the word, and he's demanding that you don't depart from the word there either. We need to submit. People have tweaked the word in many ways as possible, but so far, I haven't seen anything that allows us to depart from his words. If you think God is schizophrenic, and that's where some word that's against his words, but are written in black and white. Well, then you need to go back and examine that. Or do you just really want to listen to only what you want to hear? The spirit of Jezebel, Jezebel is like that.
Amen.
Jezebel have risen up. Somebody want to read something? Somebody else want to read something? Can I go on? Jezebel has risen up in our ministry, seeking to take authority, seeking to demand that I don't preach against Jezebels. We had the woman to do that. She got angry because I preached straight out of a word, just reading what the word says. I did come to find out later that this woman was a preacher for a little family group. And so I asked her, now you can show from the Bible where I'm wrong. Let me see the verse. What's wrong here? She didn't answer. Didn't even want to talk about it. Then I said, okay, show me something contrary to what I'm preaching. She didn't want to talk about that either. She could not defend her position, but that didn't make any difference because she was so self-willed that she was going to do what she wanted to do. So we departing company. Praise God.
Amen. That's the spirit. Better do that. Go ahead, Joe.
This has happened a few times where people have risen up and demand this and demanding that and try to take authority where they didn't have any legal right to do that. A Jezebel spirit, men or women, when they take authority that's not theirs, they're taking authority over Christ, who is the head, and by seeking to have authority over the sheep. These are demons trying to take over the church. Three different groups have tried to take over your being. A false revival group, the Jezebels, and the factious people. All these try to take our ministry and try to compel us to change our minds about things that were totally scriptural. Their rebellion, of course, has been rewarded by the Lord, but there's even greater judging coming because God is about to judge those rebellious movements that are against him. The New Testament speaks about Jezebel being in a church at Thyatira. Sorry about that. Revelation 2:20. But I have this against you, but thou suffers the woman Jezebel. In other words, you permit this to go on. Don't be a sick church. Don't permit this to go on. We had one of the men who was actually the head of a faction movement try to install his wife as an assistant pastor. But some of the brethren rose up and said, oh, no, you don't. You can't do that. That's contrary to the word, and he backed down. Glory to God. These both brethren didn't suffer the woman Jezebel. Revelation 2:20. But I have this against thee, that thou suffers the woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess. Now let me point out to you that there is no prophetess, but there's an office in the church. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. In the office of a fivefold ministry, there is one office called prophet. There is no one called prophetess, because a prophet is a man in every case. There are women who call themselves prophet, but no, there's a prophetess, and that's not an office in a church. Women can't prophesy, of course, when God is using the vessel to speak through them. A prophetess doesn't speak for herself. It's God using the vessel, and anything that you receive that way should be held in the light of the word. Any woman was trying to take a position of authority over men to teach, or take authority over men through this prophetess office, this is a Jezebel spirit in every case, because Jezebel wants to take over the church. And the prophet who stood up to her in the past either died as a martyr, or they were successful in relation to
people. Anybody got any question? Pretty straightforward, isn't it? Okay. Barry, you want to read? Thank you, Joe. That was real good. I understood every word you said, but I was reading along with you, too. Thank you. Please, go ahead, Barry. Bless you.
Yeah, I'll read. Let's see. Revelation 2:20, but I have this against thee, that thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess. She calls herself a prophetess. In other words, is she right? No, not necessarily. She's just a domineering woman. The problem here is the domineering spirit, the self-will, the rebellion, the Jezebel spirit. These want to take over the church because the devil wants to rule the church. He said that he wants to exalt his throne above the stars of God. Isaiah 14:13, and thou saidst in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit upon the mount of congregation in the uttermost parts of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. He's still trying to do it, but the prophet stood up to those Jezebels, whether it be man or woman. They stood up to these Jezebels, and many of them lost their lives defending the church. Revelation 2:20, but I have this against thee, that thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, and she teaches and seduceth my servants to commit fornication. It's fornication for a woman to sow the seed. The woman is supposed to receive the seed. She's supposed to be in subjection. The man is the one sowing the seed. Jesus agreed with this, and that's what he did. He ordained men to go forth with gospel and do this. Also, a woman who has a spirit of Jezebel, or a man who has a spirit of Jezebel, what they're trying to give you is fornication, because the seed they're trying to give you is not from your husband. It's not from Jesus Christ. They're just like the Jezebel in Revelation 17, the harlot. Revelation 17, verse 3, and he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast. She's ruling over the beast and attempting to rule over the saints, too, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stone and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations, even the unclean things of her fornication. And upon her forehead, a name written, mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Revelation 2:20, but I have this against thee, that thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, who called herself a prophetess, and she teaches and seduces my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Spiritually, to eat things means taking into our lives what we become, because what we eat is what we are made of. The teachings we receive into our lives change us in this way. What does things sacrificed to idols mean? In the natural, that would be the flesh of animals that were sacrificed. But spiritually, it means we are offering up our beastly lives to the God of self. Bow to idol of self, but Jesus teaches that we must each take up our cross and die to self, or we are not his disciple. Jesus said in Matthew 10:38, he that doth not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Some people will pervert the word to save the flesh alive because they have idols. They'll preach something to manipulate people. Wives, don't manipulate your husbands. They have to hear from God without distraction. In order for you both to be blessed, they have to be blessed to hear from God. And if you're taking authority, wife, because of self-willed idol, neither of you is going to hear from God. It'll be you leading instead of God. Now, I've known some women that were very good in their church positions, but that didn't make it legal for them to be doing what they were doing. For instance, in one of the first churches I was in, there was a woman whose teaching everybody enjoyed. The problem was that she was just in rebellion against God. And remember the story about the beguiling. There's something about a woman that enables her to be beguiled in Genesis 3:13, 1 Timothy 2:14. We don't need to put ourselves in a position that's not ours to have, a position that will bring evil to others or ourselves. That's what Jezebel was doing, and the Thyatira church was permitting it.
Amen. Amen. Anybody got any questions? Okay. All right, who wants to read next? Okay, Isaac. If he's there.
I'm here, and I'd be glad to read.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. The time to repent will soon end. Revelation 2:21. And I gave her time that she should repent, and she will if not to repent of her fornication. That's self-willed. She chose to not repent. We're at a place right now where God has given time for her to repent. But soon there's going to be a slaughter to the Jezebels, to the Jezebel spirits, because we have a Jehu coming. Revelation 2:22. Behold, I cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. If you're permitting a Jezebel in your house, they're going into tribulation, but they will not be able to escape it in it because judgment is on them, except they repent of her works, and I will kill her children with death. You're sacrificing your children. You have invited this evil spirit in your house. You're sacrificing your children. And of course, this is spiritual too, because there are people who are spiritual children of Jezebel's spirit. They're not children of the Lord, and they're not following following a demon. In other words, they're following the devil. Even while they're in the churches calling upon the name of the Lord, they're following a devil, not the Lord. Revelation 2:23, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto each one of you according to your works. God is saying that he's going to judge this work of Jezebel. But to you, I say, to the rest that are in Thyatira, as many as have not this teaching, that is, this teaching of Jezebel, who knew not the deep things of Satan. Wow. He's calling these things the deep things of Satan. You'd better depart from it. If you are in a church that ruled by a woman, get out of it. Just get out of it. And you are the husband in a family that's ruled by a woman, don't be Ahab. Ahab lost his life. He was also devoured by the beast. But to you, I say, to the rest that are at Thyatira, as many as have not this teaching, who knew not the deep things of Satan, as they are wont to say, I cast upon you no other burden. Nevertheless, that which you have, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh, in this case, overcoming those Jezebel spirits too, and he that keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give authority over the nations. This is the only one he's going to give authority to. We have to overcome and keep his works until the end. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and the vessels of the potters are broken to shivers. People wonder, what's that Jezebel spirit? Well, all you have to do is just read about Jezebel in the Old Testament, and you'll see that she tried to kill all the true prophets of God and installed false prophets of Baal and false Jesus. If Jezebel is hearing the voice of God and ruling over a church, she's hearing Baal. She's not hearing Jesus. And of course, anybody who stands up to her and says, wait a minute, this is not according to the word for a woman to be a pastor, they are thrown out. They kill the servants of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the true prophets of God. But Elijah stood up to Jezebel. Hey, the true prophets of God. Yeah. But Elijah stood up to Jezebel, except for one time when he ran for his life. 1 Kings 19, 1 through 3. He stood up to Jezebel, and he stood up to the false prophets, 1 Kings 18, 20 through 40. Jezebel was the one who led Ahab astray, making it possible for him to steal Naboth's vineyard, 1 Kings 21, 15. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned, that was her plan. She set him up, framed him, and had him murdered. And was dead that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. Naboth the Jezreelite means the fruits that God will sow. And Naboth refused to give the inheritance of his fathers unto this beast, and our inheritance that has been passed on down to us from our fathers, from the Father, is the word of God. It's the land that's sowed here. It's the land that God has given unto us. We are not to give that land to the beast. Leviticus 25:23. And the land shall not be sowed in perpetuity, for the land is mine, for ye are strangers and sojourners with me. We give that land to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jezebel had the fruits that God sowed killed, so that the beast could take possession of the vineyard. If Jezebel is ruling, the beast has taken possession of the vineyard. That's no less than the devil taking over the church. You see it in the church in America. It's quite common in other countries too. Ahab was very happily taking possession of that which was not his when Elijah rebuked him, 1 Kings 21 through 20. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to do which is evil in the sight of the Lord. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dogs shall eat Jezebel by the rampart of Jezreel. And we've seen the dogs represent the beast in Revelation 17. God put it in the heart of the beast, the kings, to devour Jezebel and burn her with fire, Revelation 17:16. It's going to happen in the tribulation period because Jezebel cannot get away with usurping authority over God's church. 1 Kings 21-24. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat. And him that dieth in the field shall the birds of the heavens eat. Yes. All of his sons were killed because of his rebellion. The children of Jezebel were destroyed in the tribulation. But there was none like unto Ahab who did sell himself. God said not to sell our land, to do that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all that the Amorites did, who the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. So Ahab followed idols, just like Jezebel. Jezebel had an idol. She wanted to rule the kingdom. She wanted to destroy the servants of God, who wanted the inheritance to be only for the Lord. God raised up Jehu, who was a type of the man-child, to destroy this evil relationship of Ahab and Jezebel and remove this evil leadership over his people. 2 Kings 9:2. And when thou comest thither, look out there, Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him arise up from among his brethren. That's exactly what the Lord's going to do in our day. 2. He's going to raise up a man-child from among his brethren and carry him to an inner chamber, then take the vial of oil and pour it on his head and say, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Well, wait a minute. They already had two kings, Jezebel and Ahab, and both of them perverts. Then open the door and flee and tarry not. That was a dangerous thing to say in a time where prophets of God were losing their head, you know, 2 Kings 9:4. So the young men, even the young men, the prophet went to Ramoth Gilead. And when he came, behold, the captains of the host were sitting. And he said, I have an errand to thee, O captain. And Jehu said, unto which of us all? And he said, to thee, O captain. And he arose and went to the house, and he poured the oil on his head and said to him, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over the people of the Lord, even over Israel. What was Jehu going to do? 2 Kings 9:7. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab, thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab every man-child. There will be no man-childs among Ahab's seed, and him that is shut up, and him that is left at large in Israel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish. And there you go, folks. The Lord is bringing a mighty judgment against them, which is what's going to happen in the end times too, because Jehu is a type of the man-child, and the Lord Jesus is coming to do this. So Ahab, if you're going to submit to Jezebel, you're going to perish. And Jezebel, since you're ruling over Ahab, you're going to perish. All your children are going to perish because you're raising them up to walk in your steps. You're sowing that seed in them every day.
All right, let's stop there. Anybody? Okay, Julie, go ahead. I see you got your hand up.
Yeah, just going back a couple pages here where it was talking about Elijah, who stood up to Jezebel, except for that one time when he ran for his life. The Lord was teaching me a lot. I used to work in the environment within a corporation. There was a lot of Jezebels I was dealing with, but because of past experiences with certain individuals there, who were very domineering, very intimidating, very bossy. And because they were, you know, they were in management position. I couldn't lose my job, that kind of thing. But anyhow, after God used them against me, my flesh, et cetera, and that kind of thing, and I was coming into the knowledge of, you know, taking authority over the demonic realm and stuff, he was telling me and showing me, it's like, you're fearing Jezebel. And when you fear Jezebel, you'll run from her, you know? And I think that's what a lot of people, I don't know that. She is very intimidating. That is her ammo. And if she can intimidate you and create fear in you, you're not going to stand up against her meeting those spirits, right? So anyhow, the Lord was teaching me that you have authority over those spirits. And when I started doing that, in the world, when I had meetings with them or just had to deal with them, which is every day, he was showing me the authority that was taking place because there wasn't that fear and intimidation when I, you know, being weirded out anytime I had to meet with one of them because of past experience and stuff. So I just want to share that if you're hesitant to deal with people who have those spirits, you need to fight against that fear of what they operate in, I guess is what I'm saying. Because they've always want to get the upper hand. They dominate. They really do dominate, and they push their way, and they make you feel like if you don't obey me, you know, it's your head. And anyhow, that was just something I had to learn to overcome when I was in the workplace. And it's education. Anyhow, I just want to share that.
Amen. Go ahead, Isaac.
So I have a question. And it just dawned on me when Julie was talking. So let's say you're a male. And you work, and your boss is a female who has a Jezebel spirit. And what would you do? Now, I'm sure you'd listen to the Holy Spirit, but I'm kind of interested to know what you guys think. What would be the right thing to do? It's just interesting.
What would be the right thing to do in what situation? Every situation?
Let's say, yeah. Possibly. I was thinking,
Do you stay at that position, or do you move on? Or, I mean, you're at work, your boss is Jezebel. Do you, submit because it's work? I mean, but I don't really feel like work, you know, holds any weight, you know, to the truth. But yeah, so I don't know. That's a pretty, there's a lot to that question there.
All right. Anybody got any answer? Yeah, Missy.
I don't know. That would be a tough situation, Isaac. Being a man and submitting to a woman.
I'm not in that situation. Just to say, I was literally curious, and yeah, that's all. It would be tough. You're right, Missy.
I don't know. My thought would be, pray like crazy and ask the Lord to get you out of it, find you another job or remove her or something like that. That would be my thought.
Go ahead, Julie.
I don't know, Isaac. I guess like Missy said, but I would also, I'd bind up every spirit of Jezebel and every spirit that works with that spirit that you know, Lord shows you, just bind it up and see what happens, you know, see what happens. I don't know.
Is this a woman?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
No, I don't, I'm not even in the situation. I was just wondering.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, thank God.
Well, that's a good question. If it's in the workplace, I don't see how it would affect you. I don't know. I'll have to pray about that and look and see. Well, I know we're not supposed to be lorded over by Jezebel. I can tell you about a wife or a husband. For a wife, you submit regardless. For a husband, you don't submit to that Jezebel spirit. You do what the Lord wants you to do, and she can follow or not. Yeah, Missy.
Thought came to me, like, if you're interviewing for a job and you find out that, you know, I would ask, you know, well, who's my boss going to be? If it's going to be a woman, if I was a man, I'd say, nope, ain't taking that job. Just saying.
That's a rebuker, you know.
Well, most of your human resource heads are women, you know. So what do you do in that case? Go ahead, Lana. She's got the answer.
Hey, I don't have an answer, but I have to say, if I was in the workforce and I knew of a man who walked away from a position because he didn't want to submit to a woman, it would give me something to think about, for sure. That's not something you see every day, for sure. But I also wanted to say that the years I spent in the workforce, especially when you work in a professional setting, there's a lot of Jezebels in there, and it's hard. It's hard to be a Christian, a submissive female Christian working for a Jezebel woman, because I think in the spiritual realm, they sense who you are, whether they understand it or not, and they will unintentionally, in a way, persecute you. Even when you've done nothing wrong, I've seen that happen. And if you don't befriend them, then you are their enemy, woman to woman. They will do that to you. Yeah, so it's, I think it's pretty black and white for men. Or it can be, I guess, if you choose for it to be that way, which a lot of men, I think, do. But for women, it's a motivation not to be in the workforce, especially once you become married and you don't want to pick up their spirits, you don't want to pick up their junk, and you don't want to be befriending just to avoid persecution, your boss or your manager. So in a way, there's a black and white answer there too.
Okay. Anybody else? Go ahead, Benjamin.
What if a woman becomes president or prime minister? What do we have to do?
If a woman is what?
Becomes president. What if Hillary Clinton beat Trump?
Rebuke her. Send her to Gitmo.
Oh, my.
I don't know. Well,
it came to my mind. I was like, well, what if we get a woman prime minister?
Listen, we're in times now that.
Because there was the queen was reigning for years. So I didn't have power. She didn't really have power over here too much. But.
Why would anybody elect? And I'm just throwing this out. Why would anybody elect a woman? We've got women that are great conservatives, but they don't have any business in the political realm. Not at all. They need to be home taking care of the children. And I can name some names, and y'all know every one of them. Go ahead, Theo. Uh-oh, here we go. Yeah, that's it. Can't hardly hear you, Theo. I can't hardly hear you.
Supervisor? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. So I have firsthand experience here with having a team lead female, ultimately a male director. Okay. So she answers to him. We go through her to get to him. So she's basically a team lead, not really a supervisor, but that's just semantics, right? Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
So the way Jezebel works, in my experience, is, I mean, you can go and isolate yourself from every female figure of position of power, and you're still going to end up, there's going to be a mayor, there's going to be, you know, somebody in Congress, I don't know, anybody. There's a lot of females out there working in high positions of power, but you have to submit to them to become an Ahab. You can't just, isolate yourself. You're not supposed to be coming out of this world. You're in this world, but you don't submit to Jezebel. She doesn't have power over you unless you submit to her, right? So one thing with my team lead is she's easy to impress, right? If I come from a client and they say awesome words about me, she takes that to the director, who then gives me a raise, right? Just that's an example. But she doesn't have power that I don't give her. Okay. That's one thing we can't forget, is we have discernment and authority. And if that comes to the point where you got to make a decision, that's on you, whether you submit or not. And if she gets on your bad side and kicks you out, well, praise the Lord, you know. But ultimately, we can't be running from everybody in the world that may or may not be a Jezebel. We keep the faith.
Yeah.
And we don't submit and go against the word, again, go against the word ultimately. I don't know, that's just my two cents.
Good answer. Good answer. Great answer. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, it does say the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and them that dwell therein. And we all know what it says in Luke 10, 19, and 20 about these different spirits that we have authority over. And, the weapons of our warfare are mighty before God. And we have the victory already. It's been done 2,000 years ago. And that's why the Gentiles could be saved now, and the Jews too. And there's quite a many of them who are being saved now, which is a time. Proves the time we're in, if there's so many Jews coming to Christ now. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. Yeah, you can work around it. You don't have to submit. You can just do your job. Okay, we'll stop right there. Are we at, if you have this problem in your household, is that where we are? Okay. All right, we'll stop right there and do that next week. Yeah, that Jezebel spirit in man or woman, is a dangerous spirit, very dangerous spirit, especially in the church. We've got women out there that, I don't know if y'all have noticed some of these women that are preachers. They start out, they've got a real feminine voice, and then years later, they got a voice like a man. I'm just saying. Oh, yeah. Communion. I'd like to schedule it for next Thursday. That way we'll have two programs to announce it, get everybody ready for it. Is that okay with everybody? I'm sorry, I forgot about it Tuesday night. So we'll schedule it for next Thursday. And we'll have a good time. Get ready. Get repented up. Amen. Go ahead, Judy.
Michael, not to take away from that, next Thursday is praise and worship.
Well, we can still have communion.
Okay.
Yeah, we can still have communion. I'll tie in right nicely with it, actually, my estimation. It won't take long for communion. We'll have a little teaching on it, then we'll do it. Just like David does. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share before we close out tonight? I don't know if y'all noticed in the news, but they've changed the dollar over to the gold back now. And, well, I'm according to what we've read, and they're saying that, and I think they're wrong on this part. I think David just sent me something on that that said that that was wrong. But you'll have a certain amount of time to change your old dollar bills into the new treasury note. And they're supposed to have all of the records of everybody in the new quantum financial system already. You're not going to lose a nickel, I say. But then in another article, they said, keep an eye on your account. So I don't know. We just have to wait and see. Some big stuff going on. I can say that. A lot of big stuff, it seems like. Anybody else got something they'd like to share?
I've got something, Michael.
Yeah, Malcolm.
Hi. Yeah, my mom has got a complete blockage in her. She just got into the hospital a little bit ago, and she's got complete blockage in her intestines. It's a, what do they call it?
Did you say she's going to the hospital?
She is in the hospital, but she's got complete bowel obstruction. So If it doesn't resolve, if they can't get it resolved somehow, they'll have to do surgery. So praying against that. Of course, all of us are praying for our relatives that they, God will give them a chance to repent and all that kind of thing. So that's the most important thing. But anyway, just I'll just pray real quick, Lord. I thank you for just breaking up that bowel obstruction and getting everything back to moving right along. And I just thank you, Lord, doing all that.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for opening up everything in our digestive tract in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
And glory, hallelujah. Also, Lord, I thank you for giving her, granting her repentance from all the stuff that she's anxious about, and just granting her deliverance from all the stuff she's got going. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for healing her, bringing her into the truth of the gospel. And we praise you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right, folks, we're out of time. Y'all be blessed.